This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are glad to join together in this time of prayer and devotion.
It comes from the Old Testament, book of Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 9a. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, or to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help. He will say, "Here I am."
Now reading from the Gospel according to John, in the 15th chapter, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. I am not unfamiliar with this congregation. I've been in this building many times. I served on a commission that was formed several years ago. And my only fear right now is that there will be session members with whom we worked at that time, whose names I have forgotten or can't remember. So you'll be kind with me, won't you, when you come up and tell me who you are so that I'm not embarrassed. Anyway, it's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. This reading from the Gospel of John, it comes in the middle of a block of material that biblical scholars like to call the farewell discourses, because these are things that Jesus has said to his disciples before he will physically depart from them. Some people like to call it his last will and testament. But anyway, Jesus speaks words of farewell to his disciples before he leaves. And first and foremost, he wants them to know that he expects them to keep his commandments. And I'd like to change that a little bit and say to follow his teaching. I think that's more in the sense of where we go with this. So first and foremost, he wants them to know that they must follow his teaching. And the highest of all of his teachings is that they are to love one another as he has loved them. And then he uses a term the term, I should say, of friendship in terms of describing this relationship. No longer do I call you, and it says in the translation we read this morning, no longer do I call you servants. But servants really isn't the proper translation of the Greek word in the Greek New Testament, in the original language of the text. The word is doulos from the Greek, and it's literally translated as slave. And so what he is saying to them, if you look at it literally, is no longer do I call you slaves, but now friends. And I find this rather startling because I've never thought of the disciples as slaves. And nowhere else in the New Testament that I can find are they referred to as such. Yet the world of the first century was indeed full of slaves, slaves of all kinds and sorts, in a system of rigid and often brutal hierarchies. Literally, slaves were those who had no rights and were subject entirely to the whims and whimsy of their masters. They were owned by them. So no wonder in most of the English translations we see the word servants rather than slaves. It softens it just a bit. I guess it makes us feel a little bit better that the disciples would be referred to like that. But I would say that the word servant is somewhat misleading, and it doesn't convey the dynamic of the relationship between Jesus and his disciples. Perhaps this is a better way of thinking, or a more helpful way of thinking about it. The term disciple means learner. It's the word that our English word discipline comes from. So students might be a better rendering of this. Students who were nearly in the same boat as slaves because they had no rights in particular, and they were subject to their master or their teacher. So maybe the translation should go more like this. No longer do I call you my students, but now you are my friends. What a contrast. They are lowly, these disciples are lowly students slash slaves one moment, and friends the next. Back when I was in college, I had a favorite professor, and he and I had a really good rapport. His name was James Boringer. I love that name, Boringer. It's good feel to it. Anyway, I took organ lessons from him. At the time, I wasn't a music major, but he taught me the organ, and I was virtually the whole time I was at college. I also took some of his music courses. But during that period, the student-teacher relationship always held fast. I knew who I was and who he was. I was his student and he was my teacher, and he knew that as well. That is, until one snowy evening, late in the month of February. It was my senior year. Graduation was not very far off. And I received a phone call from Dr. Boringer. He wanted to know if I would join him downtown for a beer. Well, I was stunned, but also thrilled. Now, it was a little dicey because we students were not allowed to drink on campus. In fact, there was no alcohol. The no alcohol thing was not only at the school, but it was in the entire county. Any place in the county a student went wasn't allowed to drink. But I thought, well, this is my senior year. He knows that. Heck, what can they do to me now? So we met downtown at 7:30 that evening. We sat down at the bar and we ordered our drinks. And it was indeed very much like friend with friend. That's the way the conversation went. We talked about the kinds of things friends talk about, not the kinds of things that students and teachers worry over. I will never forget that night. and the sense of camaraderie that I felt as the two of us left the bar. We walked over to his yellow Volkswagen bug, I guess we used to call them at that time, a beetle, that's it, his yellow Volkswagen Beetle. And I helped him brush the snow off of the car, and he turned to me and he said, "Would you like a ride back to the dorm?" I said, "I sure would." "You are no longer slaves," said Jesus, "but now friends." What a striking change in the dynamic of their relationship with him. At the very moment when they felt likely very insecure over the loss of their teacher, Jesus conferred on them the dignity and the responsibility of being friends. Now, these days, the term friend can mean a lot of things. A friend might only be someone on a long list of names on, you guessed it, your Facebook account. I do dabble just a tiny bit with Facebook, and I know how that works. Now, you do have some friends that are probably close on Facebook. I don't know. You've heard of Facebook, right? Yeah, I know you have. But then they keep rolling out names for you to become friends with. It's so easy to get a friend on Facebook. All you have to do is click your mouse, or whatever it is you click, and you've got a friend. The other nice thing about Facebook, or maybe not so nice, is that if you don't like your friend, you can unfriend them. All you have to do is another click. My sense is that Facebook tends to trivialize the meaning of friendship to a certain degree. Of course, it can be a useful tool, I understand that too. But a friend can be more precisely defined as a person one knows, one likes, and one trusts. A friend can be someone with whom one is united in a struggle or a cause, or one who supports and sympathizes with you in various things. A friend can be someone at church, could be someone where you work, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody around town. But at the highest level, friendship implies a special bond between persons that is imbued with trust, affection, mutuality, and concern for one another. One of the most influential voices of the Christian faith was the 5th century philosopher and theologian St. Augustine. And he believed with all his heart that friendship was the highest and best of all the loves. Friendship, Augustine said, is a form of love which unites two souls. Love always unites you with something. When you enjoy a love, you are united with what you love. Friendship, Augustine said, makes many souls into one. Friendship, insists Augustine, is the best thing on earth. Isn't it interesting that the Quakers, who are so active in their efforts of peacemaking, call themselves friends, and I think deservedly so. Unfortunately, we live in a time, though, of deep divisions and dangerous and potentially devastating conflicts. Some have talked about this particular time in the life of our country as unusual, or maybe more unusual than in the past, and I'm thinking particularly of the recent history of COVID here and pandemic, and it's been said by some critics that we wouldn't have done it this way in the past. We would have done it differently. We would have rallied together to try to overcome a problem. We would have worked with one another and rather than against one another, which is what we seem to be doing now. Well, you know how it goes. Do you wear a mask? Don't you wear a mask? Will you get vaccinated or won't you get vaccinated? Should the doors of the church be open? Should they be closed? Well, fortunately, we're opening them a little bit more these days. But given all that we've been through, I am thinking that friendship is our only hope in a world that is so conflicted, so divided, so fragile, so needy. I'm talking about friendship with one another, of course. But I'm also talking about all sorts of ideas. Friendship with the earth, not just to enjoy the things that it brings forth, but to preserve the earth so that the generations beyond us will have it to enjoy as well. I'm talking about friendship in the church, but I want to broaden that. It's not just friendship here in the congregation or among Presbyterians or among Christians, but it really should be across all denominations, all religious expressions, Jewish, Buddhist, people who are Islamic, right across the board. I could name so many more. Friendship with all of those folks whose primary principle is to respond to God's love in the way they live. And then I'm talking about friendship in the community, in the nation, and of course, in the world. So good that this is World Communion Sunday, and we can talk about friendship because I think World Communion and friendship are very much linked. And if there is any way to be friends with our enemies, and I think this is an important one too, is to find a way to do it. Maybe by appreciating one another long enough to listen to each other, even in our disagreements, and find some ways to be together, even though we do disagree. I'd like to see us find that. If there are choices to be made that require certain sacrifices to befriend other people around the earth, I would like to see us do that. You know, we Americans, we are 4% of the population in the world, 4 to 6%, something like that. And we use 46% or 40, 50%, who knows, but it's way up there, of the world's resources on ourselves. I wonder if we could make friends with others and break that relationship down a little more, that statistic, so that others benefit more. I'd like to see us try that. If there are friendships that have been broken, and I know how hard it is depending on why they might be broken, but if it is possible to mend those relationships, I would love to see us find ways to mend them. So, Jesus said, "Friends, you are my friends when you follow my teachings. And you are my friends when you love one another as I have loved you." And he's not, I don't think he's just talking about people we like and people who like us. I think the power of these words extends to the whole human family. All races, all nations, all faiths, all backgrounds, all orientations. Jesus goes on to say, "No one has greater love than to put one's life on the line for one's friends." I agree with St. Augustine. Friendship is our highest calling. But you know what else? It's also our best reward.
Thank you for joining with us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street, and we have in-person worship at 9 a.m.